From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled Paul at Corinth, part of this series of studies in the book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 21. She bound the scarlet line in the window. Rahab depended for her preservation upon the promise of the spies, whom she looked upon as the representatives of the God of Israel. Her faith was simple and firm, but it was very obedient. To tie the scarlet line of the window was a very trivial act in itself, but she dared not run the risk of omitting it. Come, my soul, is there not here a lesson for thee? Hast thou been attentive to all thy Lord's will, even though some of his commands should seem non-essential? Hast thou observed in his own way the two ordinances of believers' baptism and the Lord's Supper? These neglected argue much unloving disobedience in thy heart. Be henceforth in all things blameless, even to the tying of a thread, if that be matter of command. This act of Rahab sets forth a yet more solemn lesson. Have I implicitly trusted in the precious blood of Jesus? Have I tied the scarlet cord as with a Gordian knot in my window, so that my trust can never be removed? Or can I look out towards the Dead Sea of my sins or the Jerusalem of my hopes without seeing the blood and seeing all things in connection with its blessed power? The passerby can see a cord of so conspicuous a color if it hangs from the window. It will be well for me if my life makes the efficacy of the atonement conspicuous to all onlookers. What is there to be ashamed of? Let men or devils gaze if they will. The blood is my boast and my song. My soul, there is one who will see that scarlet line, even when from weakness of faith thou canst not see it thyself. Jehovah, the Avenger, will see it and pass over thee. Jericho's walls fell flat. Rahab's house was on the wall, and yet it stood unmoved. My nature is built into the wall of humanity, and yet when destruction smites the race, I shall be secure. My soul, tie the scarlet thread in the window afresh, and rest in peace.
Oh,
If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Continuing this series of studies in the Book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the progress of the expansion of the early church through Paul's second missionary journey. After rejection by the intellectuals at Athens, Paul came to Corinth. This was a low point in Paul's travels, for he was alone, sick, and somewhat depressed because of having seen so few souls saved in the northern part of Greece. In contrast to the philosophical climate of Athens, Corinth was a city of business and unbridled pleasure. Yet here God was to do a great work through his choice servant. Now to introduce a message entitled, Paul at Corinth. Here is Dr. Cairns.
We're turning to the 18th chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 18, and we're going to commence to read at verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads, for I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence, and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul, and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. Finishing the reading at verse 17, and the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Paul's ministry in the city of Corinth was, by any reckoning and by any standard, a most remarkable and outstanding ministry. Here in this city, a great work was done for God. Now, it's easy to say that. And yet, when you look at the circumstances surrounding Paul's visit to the city, you'll see that it was one of the most unlikely places in which ever any preacher could expect to see a work done for the Lord. First of all, we've got to realize that when Paul came to the city of Corinth, he himself was at his weakest. He said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3, And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. Cast your mind back over what we have already studied in Acts. You remember that he came from Athens to Corinth. And of course, in Athens, he had taken a mighty stand for God. He had preached one of the most outstanding messages recorded anywhere in the New Testament. And yet, after all that, for the first time in his ministry, Paul experienced wholesale rejection, not only by the Jews, but also by the Gentiles. For the first time in his ministry, he saw only one or two people saved, just a small number of Gentiles. And so, very naturally, when he comes now to Corinth, he comes dejected and downcast. Then add to that
that he was without his friends and helpers in the work. So often we get the impression of men like Paul that they were made of steel, that they hadn't the feelings of ordinary mortals. When you read a little more closely, you'll find that they had just the same feelings as the rest of us. It could be said of Paul, as it was said of Elijah, that he was a man subject to like passions as we are. And so he was without his friends. Timothy was in Thessalonica, and Silas was yet in Berea, confirming the church there. And so without them, he comes into this great thriving city, all alone, downcast, and also feeling more than a little bit lonely. As I say, he had sent Timothy to Thessalonica. We read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. The first 5 verses will show you why he sent him. He was obviously anxious about the new church of the Thessalonians. They were undergoing tremendous persecution. The fires of hatred were daily raging against them. And the heart of Paul was anxious lest that new work should founder and come to naught. So he's downcast. He's lonely. He's anxious. And then on top of all that, he was sick in body. I read you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3. He said, I was with you in weakness. The word weakness means simply illness. I was with you in illness. It could well be that it was the same old trouble that was with him when he was among the Galatians. Now, we have noted that his Galatian ministry in Acts is very quickly skated over. We don't get many details of it. It's just a reference. But in the epistle to the Galatians, we find that a great work was done and churches were formed. But we also find there that Paul was suffering. It seems, and the best of scholars agree in this, that Paul, by his language, was indicating that he was suffering from a terrible condition of his eyes, a painful condition. And he said that the Christians would indeed have plucked out their own eyes to give them to him. Such was their pity for him and their love for him in the work. Now, whether it was the same thing, we don't know. But Paul was sick in body when he got to Corinth. So he's downcast because of what he thought the lack of blessing in his ministry in Athens. He was lonely, going as a single individual into a great city of sin. He was anxious, fearing what was happening to his new converts in the city of Thessalonica. And then he was weak and sick in his own body. Add to all that he was in poverty. He had no money. He had nothing wherewith to supply his own needs. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 9, when he looks back upon those days, he says to the Corinthians, he was with them in want. There was none at that time communicating with him. He had spent everything for the founding of the churches, and for this period of time, at least, none of them communicated with him. So he was almost destitute. That's why he had to go and work. Wasn't that he didn't want to spend his time missioning and preaching. He had to go to work to keep body and soul together. Now, that certainly wasn't a very auspicious beginning to any man's ministry in a city, especially like Corinth. But in spite of the unlikely background, with Paul at his weakest, with the task at its greatest, with the devil's attacks at their strongest, God came down and God blessed him and God used him and God established a work which, though in later years it gave him many, many heartaches and many troubles, nonetheless he could rejoice that this church came behind no other in the demonstration of the blessing and of the gifts and of the graces of the Holy Spirit working in their midst. So here we have, in the short portion we have read this morning, the record of the establishment against all the odds of a mighty work for God. You know, it is too often our excuse that times are hard. It is too often our excuse that these are the last days, days of sin, that we ourselves feel weak in body, that we have so many distractions and so many things to hinder us. My friend, we have got to learn from Acts chapter 18 that God is greater than our circumstances. That God is greater than our weakness. Yea, that so often God chooses us in our weakness, that He may have the glory and He may have the preeminence and honor. You'll find that it's certainly not a coincidence that Paul stressed that very truth in writing the first epistle to the Corinthians. At the end of chapter 1, he tells the kind of instruments that God has chosen. He doesn't choose the great and the mighty, the noble and the strong. He chooses the weak things of this world. Why? His aim is that no flesh should glory in his presence. So if you're here this morning, and you're weak, and you're poor, and you're needy, well, you and I can shake hands in that, for I'm just the same. But if that's your condition, then let's thank God that we have a God who can take the poor and the weak and the needy and the sick in body and the useless and the defeated and the powerless, and He can fill them with the Holy Ghost and He can use them for the honor of His name. And even in this day and age of apostasy, He is able to build a church which will be to the glory of His name. I would hope that it would be without the problems of the sins of the Corinthians, but nonetheless that it would be a glory for the Lord. Now, in looking at this work, I think the simplest thing to do is just to go down the portion and pick out some of the headings that we could give to each small section. And I think in that way we'll summarize the portion and we'll get the message that the Lord has for us. I want you, first of all, to emphasize the city in verse 1. Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Corinth, in the ancient world, was a very famous city. And it was famous for many, many reasons. For instance, commercially, it was a center of great trade. It was situated strategically, and it was a city with a thriving economy. It was one of those places where people milled about, always busy making money. It was the very opposite to Athens, where Paul had last been, because there they were idlers, they were philosophers, they were theorists, they did nothing all day but talk. But here they did nothing all day but work and play and make money. So this was commercially a center of thriving trade. Politically, it was the capital city of the Roman province of Achaia, which took in by far the greatest part of the country. It was the large province, and this, of course, was an important city politically. Culturally, you don't think of Corinth as a place of culture, but to this day in architecture, you still talk about Corinthian columns, and that's not without reason. The reason is that the architecture of Corinth was celebrated throughout the ancient world, and it boasted some outstanding examples of the ornate classical styles. It was also, and this would go down well in America, it was also a center of great sporting activity. The Isthmian Games were famous throughout the ancient world. And in fact, when you find Paul writing to the Corinthians and other Christians, and he draws his figures of speech from the Games, I don't think that they were the Olympic Games, as so many preachers have said, but they were the Isthmian Games. Paul lived for 18 months here in this sporting capital of Achaia. He knew all about the sporting goings-on, and he so often drew an analogy from those games to get a message over to the people there. So you can see what kind of a city it is. Now add to all that, that there wasn't a city in the ancient empire of Rome more renowned for its vice than the city of Corinth, and the picture is complete.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.